back, WNSD, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. This is a truly Maryland positive piece, but as we get up on the 4th of July and I sort of resurrect the red, white, and blue shirt that I had on a year ago this week at Fadley's, where I picked the infamous crab that now 2.3 million people have seen me pick, lollipop style. But before I plug Fadley's, and I'm going to do a lot of that, we're going to talk about one of my favorite things here, and I'm going to learn about crabs in the same way that a year ago I learned how to properly pick a crab for the first time in my life at the age of 50. I'm going to learn even more at 51 here. But before we do that, I got to talk about Taharka Ice Cream. They're one of our great sponsors. I had a dear friend and Uncle Bill back in the day that would eat crabs and eat ice cream afterward. I don't think he would have gone for the mint flicks and chills. He'd probably gone for the vanilla bean, but the peppermint ice cream and homemade peppermint patties and chocolate, delicious, much like Fadley's, made right here in Baltimore. Taharka Ice Cream, make sure you're supporting them. As well as our friends at State Fair this weekend, they're having the hot dog eating contest over in Catonsville, opening up El Guapo soon. Big shout out to Evan Brown. He's also a Baltimore Positive guest this week as we work on fireworks and the 4th of July. As well as Moeller and Gary Realty, Jeff Moeller selling homes, buying, listing. You can find them at MoellerandGary.com. You're going to be able to find this lady out in Catonsville very soon. She's not out there getting the preparations ready for a 2021 opening for Fadley's in Catonsville. She's down at Lexington Market, and they're still shipping crabs. I always tell everybody, Damian, I tell them, if they want to be a hero for the 4th of July, a real American hero, they'll ship a Fadley's crab cake, because yeah, that'll make you a hero wherever you are. Happy 4th to you. I am so sorry that I'm not down there shucking oysters with you and giving your dad and mom a hard time and eating the crab cakes extra fried and the french fries the way I do it. But I know you've got a topic here, and you've talked to me about this many, many times, and I want to give you some oxygen. We're going to welcome in Jack Brooks from CBSIA, that is the Chesapeake Bay Seafood Industries Association. It is a very, very vital time of the year for you, for everyone in the crab industry. We all love to go out and get our crabs and our crab cakes this time of the year, but you've got a major concern here and an educational component for everybody. Last year, you educated me how to pick a crab. Now you're going to educate me on where they come from and how they wind up at Fadley. So happy 4th to you. I know it's been tough. It's been tough for everybody, but it is summer. It is crab season. When I think of you and your family, I think of those delicious crab cakes, and I want you to further your interest and tell us where all these crabs come from.
Well, we pride ourselves in Maryland crab meat and Maryland crabs. And this year we've got a little bit of a predicament. Actually, we have it every year. It's just this year it's hit harder than most. And Jack will be able to tell us a little bit about that. But I don't think people realize that we have only about, what is it, Jack, 9 processors in Maryland left.
Well, they're a little less than 20, but the 9 that you reference that use the visa workers account for 95% of the Maryland crab meat processed and manufactured here in the state.
So hold on, that's 95% of the crab meat picked in the state of Maryland. Now that's, we're talking up and down the shore, up and down the bay, east shore, west shore, the whole thing. 95% picked by whom?
By HDB visa workers, Nectar, and they have been shut out this year from many of these companies. And unfortunately, there weren't enough visas, H-2B visas, the seasonal non-agricultural work visas that the seafood industry here in Maryland began to utilize back in the early 90s when we saw such a less and less local people willing to wait out the off-season. Starts around Thanksgiving and runs through March to come back to work in April. And we started seeing less and less young people wanting to take up crab meat picking, crab processing as a career, especially with all the recent opportunities that have come along, given the education with the community schools, trade schools, colleges, and things. Not many parents are encouraging their kids to be the best crab picker they can be, and you know, back in the day they did.
Well, we talk about crab picking, and in my mind, and Damian and I have a video that almost 2.5 million people have seen that was shot that, you know, her teaching me how to lollipop pick a crab. I'm assuming, and I've only seen maybe pictures and maybe something at a crab-picking thing in Crisfield, because I have a dear friend who grew up in Crisfield with the festival down there for many years. I'm not sure how this is done. Can you run me through them? Damien, feel free to jump in any time here. Where does that crab meat that you put in a crab cake, delicious crab cake that I get, where does that come from other than a blue crab at the bottom of the playoff Bloodsworth Island somewhere?
Well, it starts out in the Chesapeake Bay with the Maryland Waterman going out early in the morning and harvesting crabs. That season begins April 1 every year and runs typically through the month of November. It can run in a little bit into the month of December. But we're in the heart of the season right now, and so what happens is the Maryland Waterman goes out there and he fishes his crab pots or fishes his trot line, however he's catching the crabs, and he brings them in. Now, some people think that every crab that's caught in Maryland ends up on a table or in a restaurant somewhere, whole, in the round, green or red, that are live or cooked and available that way. But contrary to that popular belief, probably two-thirds of the crabs harvested in Maryland annually do not end up that way, and they do end up typically in a food manufacturing facility, mostly in Dorchester County, that process crabs, one of these nine companies that were referenced a little while ago. And so we steam them. The crabs that do not go to what we call the city market, that stay here, we steam them. We refrigerate them. And actually, you did it. It sounds like Nestor the other day. Pull the back shells off and take them apart one by one with a knife, extracting the meat. And typically we get maybe anywhere from 3.5 to 4.5 pounds of crab meat out of every bushel. Very laborious. And over the years, we have tried machinery to mechanize this process, because this visa system is just so hard to navigate and so unreliable. And years ago, we had a quick pick line that did pick the crabs mechanically, but it had a lot of shell, no jumbo lump. And we're involved right now with a project with the University of Maryland College Park School of Engineering. These bright young people think that and they can develop a prototype to pick crabs using vision equipment, robotics, and water jet equipment, so water cutting equipment. So we continue to try to get away from this program, but we just can't find people to staff these jobs, unfortunately.
So we're going to find a better way for robotics to pick a crab. I mean, when I think of the intricacies of a crab, and I needed Damie's help to pick the crab I picked last year on Facebook for crab. But and I listen, I'm Dundalk. I've been picking crabs my whole life, and I pick them old-fashioned, you know, bang and seek and destroy, and I like getting dirty, and I like the longer it takes me to pick them, the more I enjoy the beer I have with them, you know. But in your industry, in trying to get this done well, and I remember when I was a little boy, my parents wouldn't let me pick the crabs because I left too much meat in there, right? That they're professionally to do this. What does that look like and entail, and who are these people that have been picking this crab meat the last 30 years?
Well, we years ago, back through the 60s and 70s, we had a lot of local folks that came and worked. But in the late 70s through the 80s, we almost had to close. Most of us, or many of us, did because of lack of workers. And so we gravitated to this H-2B non-agricultural visa program. And these workers come from Mexico to come up on a seasonal basis to pick crabs. And when the season's over, they return. And, you know, it's been such a successful program, both for the Maryland manufacturers here of crab meat, but also for the workers, and that we have a 90 to 95% return rate from the same workers, provided we get assigned the visas. But unfortunately, the service industries use the same visa program, landscape, hospitality, and with the economy racing along like it is, with only 66,000 visas available annually nationwide, there are over 200,000, almost probably approaching 300,000 requests for those 66,000 visas. So it's probably less than a 30% chance you're going to win that lottery to get these visas, and indeed, that's what happened to us in Dorchester County.
Dami Hahn is here. She is, of course, with Fadley's, and I'm going to let you jump into this. I drove through the Eastern Shore. Drove right through Cambridge, up the Eastern Shore, past Assateague and Pocomoke and Princess Anne just over the weekend. I came back from Nagshead, and, you know, you see that beautiful country and all that beautiful water over there and all the farmland as well. And I know we've had a farming issue in the country that it's been made news that, you know, things were dying on the vine. Corn was dying on the vine that no one was there to pick it. I've seen so many of the farms with mechanisms to do this. The skill set of picking a crab jack, teaching someone how to do it, or to say, what's the unemployment in Dorchester County, or, you know, maybe even Wicomico or any of those counties over the Eastern Shore, what has made it so unattractive from a work standpoint to not want to pick crabs?
Well, it's not the most glamorous. You've done it before, as you mentioned, and it's not the most glamorous job in the world. It is seasonal, too, and about Thanksgiving and Christmas every year, you get laid off, lose your job because, well, the season's over. The crabs have gone to sleep. They've gone and hibernated. The Maryland State Department of Natural Resources declares that the season is over, and, you know, it's a tough time to be out of work, and now with so many other job opportunities, typically until the pandemic hit, you know, unemployment was at an all-time low here in the country for, you know, decades, and we'd love to have local people come in and do these jobs like we did decades ago. I mean, we've gone to all sorts of measures trying to recruit and retain local workers, but unfortunately, we just have not been successful, and as evidenced by these four or five companies now in Dorchester County that are shut down, lights out, doors locked, because we don't have staffing. In a food emergency here in this country, a national food emergency that's been declared by the President of the United States.
Well, Dami, I want to let you in on this, because what does this mean for Fadley's and anyone else that, quite frankly, wants to serve Maryland crab, not Indonesian crab, or not, you know, from Florida, or from North Carolina, Texas, wherever, Louisiana. We know where these crabs come from. You want to serve Maryland crabs. Why are we not doing more locally here?
Okay, well, and you know, as Jack said, you're getting 3.5 to 4 pounds of crab meat out of every bushel. Think about that. 3.5 to 4 pounds of crab meat for an entire bushel of crabs. And you know how much work picking a bushel of crabs is. The jobs are tough. The areas where these processing plants are remote. Jack will tell you several of them are on small islands that some of them you have to arrive by boat, which is another reason why some of the it's difficult to get some workers out there. There's no place for them. There's no facilities or that to get them back and forth. But most people do not eat those crabs in the shell. Marylanders eat crabs in the shell. I watch people come in from all over the country every day, and they may try opening a crab in the shell, but what they want is they want the meat already picked. And that's where it's really difficult for us, because we're making the crab cakes. We're making the famous crab cake, you know, the famous Maryland crab cake. And without having the people to pick the crab, making the crab cake is nearly impossible. So it's important for us to, we love the Maryland crab meat. I think the Maryland crab meat has the best flavor. They are fattier. It's a brackish water. They're sweeter. They are far better than anywhere else in the world. And I will attest to that for the rest of my life. And we would love to be able to promote all Maryland all the time. And we're not able to right now because we don't have these processing plants to rely on to pick the crab meat, and because they don't have the workers that they have relied on for the past 20 years. Without these visa workers who come up from Mexico with this symbiotic relationship, they have other jobs down there on the off season that we don't provide up here in an area like Dorchester County. If we had local workers, like Jack said, they'd be unemployed for half a year before they could go back to work again. So for us, I'm worried about a couple of things. Number one, I don't think that people realize as Jack said, that when a waterman goes out, two-thirds to three-quarters of his catch are what they consider factory crabs, not too dissimilar from farming where you have some ugly produce, and the ugly produce gets processed. It's not what ends up, you know, pretty as a picture on somebody's plate. So the same thing goes for crabs, whether they're one-legged crabs or no-legged crabs or funky-shaped or little-sized or a lot of females. I don't think people realize the number of female crabs that are picked and processed, and that's what you get in the crab cake. It always amused me when people say, oh, I don't eat female crabs. I'm like, oh, yes, you do if you eat a crab cake. So a lot of those... I'm sorry, go ahead, Jack.
That's exactly right. And, you know, what most people don't realize is when Maryland crab or domestic crab, domestic being from Virginia, North Carolina, Louisiana, another state, when that's not available, crab is still available out there. The sad part about this, we are shipping these jobs to Venezuela and China because, hey, you may go in someplace, Nestor, you won't go in Fagley's and find it, but you may go in another company there or another restaurant or another shop and find some crab cakes, and without the Maryland or domestic meat, you're going to be getting crab cakes with crab meat from Venezuela or China. And that's where these jobs are going. Now, contrary to popular belief, these visa workers support and create American jobs. And for example,
correct,
we have really good sound data that shows that 2.54 American jobs, jobs for Americans, are created by each and every one of these visa workers coming to work in seafood in Maryland every year. And many of those workers, and that 2.54, are Maryland watermen. They're helpers, the people who make the gear and maintain and make the boats, the engines, the people who drive the trucks.
That doesn't include the restaurateurs and
exactly,
the restaurant industry. And the jobs,
exactly,
they're far more than 2.5.
Exactly.
The jobs that are provided by these visa workers.
Exactly.
And these visa workers being able to pick is far more than 2.5, Jack. I would say it's probably four times that.
Well, this is a conservative number for sure, and there have been studies to show that it's approaching five. But you're exactly right. And, you know, Maryland crab meat's iconic. I mean, that's what we're known for. And you know, we're losing that. Now, what we need to remedy this is an exemption, much like the fish roe processors have in Alaska. For the fish roe processors are exempt from the numerical cap in the H-2B program, have been since 2005, and we are trying to expand on that existing law, existing statute, to include all of seafood, and all seafood will fix this problem. And now President Trump, a week ago, issued an executive order to temporarily stop in all instances of many work visas, H-1B, H-2B, L visas, many, many visas, because of the high unemployment rate now because of the pandemic. Now, some people may think, hey, well, let these people go and pick crabs, and you know, because they will. They will come here and work. Wish they would, but hey, we don't have them knocking on the door. We've been trying to recruit, and they won't come here and do these jobs, unfortunately. And so, by the time
you find somebody to do that work, train them, the season's over, and what we need is we need something to carry us through to the point where science will allow them to come up with a better picking device. But at this point, it could be years out. And
oh,
if
could
we
be
don't
decades.
Do something right, if we don't do something soon, the seafood industry as we know it will not exist. Because if you think about it, Nestor, if these watermen go out and two-thirds or three-quarters of the catch they can't take to a processor to pick, I mean, the things are going to be dead tomorrow. So if they can't throw them back overboard. They've already pulled them into the boat to cull them and sort them. They can't live on what, you know, one quarter of their catch. So without the processors being open, these guys aren't all going out. And without them going out, they're having to sell their boats. They're having to go on unemployment, go to other jobs, look for maybe move out of the Dorchester County or Wicomico or wherever they are to go do jobs somewhere else to feed their families. And we lose that link in the chain where generations of men and women who know the water, who know the breeding grounds, who know the life cycle of the crab, how to actually fish for that crab. I mean, it's not something that you learn in a university. It's not something that comes naturally. It is it's generation after generation of knowledge, and we lose that link in the chain by not being able to continue this industry through this year or next year, then we're not going to get it back again. There's not anybody jumping up every morning saying, oh, I think I'll be a waterman and do the hardest job in the world. It's not easy, right, Jack?
Exactly, and it goes the same for the crab manufacturing companies. I mean, once they're gone, they're gone. And to your point, back in 1995, 1996, there were 54 companies in Maryland engaged in crab meat manufacturing.
54. Wow.
And now so many of them, I mean, friends of mine have closed. And, you know, I had two very good friends, Meredith, you know, were the folks who ran that. Mm-hmm. There were two companies there, the Tatale family. And they said, hey, I'll close before I hire a foreign worker. And now the places are falling down. They're gone because they're closed. They're one of those attrition companies, or two of those attrition companies that decided to close instead of hiring foreign workers. And so, but you know, in the Trump executive order of a week ago, he did exclude workers that are associated with the food chain. So he does realize that. And so what we need the president to give us an executive order. He's given one just last week for the lobster industry. We need an executive order to exempt these visas from being counted against the cap that does not sunset, permanent. And so, because we've been going through this visa problem since 2005, that's when it started, 15 years. For 15 years, we don't know 1 year to the next if we're going to be in business. Our bankers are calling, say, Jack, you know, hey, are the guys going to get visas this year? I got watermen. I got loans out to watermen on their boats, their trucks, their gear. I got loans out to you on your trucks, lines of credit. Are you guys going to be able to pay me this year? This is ridiculous.
Jack Brooks is here. He is from CBSIA. I want to reset everything. Dami Hahn's also here from Fadley's. The Chesapeake Bay Seafood Industries Association is a nonprofit association formed 50 years ago, kind of like me, to represent the seafood processing industry in Maryland. We're talking about crabs, Maryland crabs, the Eastern Shore, where these crabs come from, where that crab cake you put in your mouth comes from, whether it's Indonesia or Venezuela or whether it's Florida. We want it to be from Maryland, obviously. And Jack, I want to give a shout out to J.M. Clayton, which is your company. I drove right past your place. I mean, I stopped on 50. Bill Burton was a dear friend of mine, right? So,
sure.
You know, I worked at the Evening Sun back in the 80s, and Bill would write that fishing report, and you'd always have the bluefish and the yellowfish and the perch, you know, on the TV on Channel 2 when I was a little boy in the 70s.
Yeah.
And I got to ghostwrite his fishing column when he was on vacation.
Cool.
A couple times. And so I would always have to call down to Point Lookout and Captain Harris and all these places to get what the fish were biting in the Choptank River back in 1988. So I got out of the car and stretched my legs at the Bill Burton Bridge, and had I known you were just a spit away, I would have stopped by for a crab cake.
Wish you would.
Next time through, I'll definitely do that. If you've been over the Bill Burton Bridge and the fishing bridge. By the way, that fishing bridge is something, man. I mean, there were hundreds of people lined up socially distanced, but there were rods in the water on a Saturday afternoon. It's beautiful.
Oh, it was a beautiful day, and I went over on Sunday, and the same deal. The weather was perfect, and I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of people on both the Talbot and Dorchester side. What a beautiful facility, and the Bill Burton Fishing Pier. Absolutely.
I got to get down there to the Hyatt and do all. I got to do a weekend down in Cambridge and Easton and make a whole Eastern Shore weekend. Dami, I want to let you jump back in there because it's 4th of July weekend, right? And I sell your crab cakes. Everybody loves your crab cakes. We ship crab cakes. Where are you? How is this affecting you on price, on what you can do when Oprah calls you and says, I need 100 crab cakes?
Well, it does affect. It affects everybody in the restaurant industry. And I fear that when everybody gets back open fully, that there's going to be such pressure on the industry because we're missing the Maryland processing this year. And unless we get something going, unless we get the exemption that the agriculture, quite frankly, all of our farms are exempt from these restrictions on the visas because it's an essential food source. But because the crab is not grown, it is wild caught. They don't fall under the agricultural program. They fall under this H-2B program that, you know, construction workers and everybody else falls under. So as an essential food source, if we don't come up with some type of a remedy a permanent exemption as an essential food source for all of us, that I fear that we're really going to have too much of a too small of a supply for the demand that even Marylanders themselves. And it's funny you say that about Oprah, because I, you know, that my father declined to put our crab cakes on her gift giving guide in December, because he said, I don't have enough crab meat to supply my Marylanders through the holiday, much less people all over the country. So he wouldn't put it in there.
Yeah, explain to Oprah, it's crab, not chicken or beef, right? Literally.
Correct. He kept saying, do you realize it's out of season? Do you realize, you know, he wanted to make sure that everybody that walked in the
door.
Well,
you tell her she's a billionaire, just send the crab cakes on the 4th of July and you guys will take care of it.
Correct. Correct. That's what he did. He said, do it for Father's Day. Do it for Mother's Day. But don't do it for Christmas. But
I want to give you a chance to tell everybody, and Jack as well, if people want crab cakes from you, I know how easy it is, but it's a click away. Give them the whole process of how this works, and that if I want to send crab cakes to my boy Hells out in Little Rock, Arkansas, how would I go about doing that?
Well, you go right to FadleysCrabCakes.com, and we have two icons, one for shipping and one for curbside, so you can order to pick up here, or you can order to ship anywhere in the continental U.S. So we ship overnight air express, and what we do differently than everybody else is we literally make them fresh to order. So when you place an order, you have to actually choose a shipping date, because we make them the day before, make them fresh, put them in the box, ship them fresh, and they arrive fresh, not frozen, never been frozen. So we're old school, my mother being 84 and dad 88.
They're not really that old. I mean, I've met them.
They are that old.
I know them.
they stay young by working hard, and they're still working here. Of course, they're home for COVID, so my son and I have been running the show down here now. But we do make them fresh to order, and you can ship them overnight. We ship all kinds of great crab dip, crab balls, crab cakes, crab soup, anything you want, and we'll ship it overnight to anywhere in the continental U.S.
Well, I see, you know, sometimes I see you guys showing up on a Gold Belly and some other places and shipping stuff. I do love on the website, it says right here, and I know this is written by your dad, our octogenarian curmudgeon patriarch, and that's probably how a lovely man otherwise, will not ship surprises. Damien, I got to tell you, and Jack, you'll laugh at this. I went to the Super Bowl, and I had one of the Food Network people on who had one of the food shipping companies. They ship you, you know, the box of food that you make or whatever. Damien, I gave the guy my card, and he fell in love with me at the table. You know, he's like, I love you. And I went away right before COVID with my wife, and I came back, and I went out to the radio station, and I had a box inside the station, and I'm sniffing in my – I said, why does my station smell like old fish? This is February. What the heck happened here? And you would believe the man upstate New York never called me, never told me, never texted me, never emailed me, never said incoming, sent me salmon in a bag.
Oh, wow.
And
oh, no.
I found it. I mean, he shipped it on whatever he met me, and I guess he fell in love with me on January 28th, and I found it on February 17th or something like that. So you tell dad that he not shipping surprises and crab it makes him a lot smarter than the 88 years he's got on the planet, all right?
I know. The number of people that said, is this okay? I was on vacation last week, and I came on. We're like, no, you got to throw it away.
I'll do anything for you, but I won't surprise him with it. I hear him saying now. That's a pretty good impression.
That's right.
Damien Hahn is here. She's down at Fadley's. We love them. You love them. You can ship the crab cakes. She's here because we don't have enough crab pickers on the Eastern Shore to pick her the kind of crab meat that she wants to have, the Maryland crab cakes that they ship to you. Jack Brooks is here. He's down at Dorchester County, has a lovely piece up at the Dorchester County Economic Development site. You can also find them and all that they do out on the Eastern Shore, J.M. Clayton, and you can find them at the Seafood Market right next to Snapper's Waterfront Cafe, where I'm going to visit him one day for a freight. I'm going to have you pull it right out of the water and put it down on a plate for me, Jack.
Okay, buddy, whatever you want, you got it.
Tell me about your family and what you do, and a little bit more about CBSIA and what the Chesapeake Bay Seafood Industry Industries Association does.
Well, thank you, Nestor. Yeah, my family, J.M. Clayton, that was my great-grandfather, John Morgan Clayton, and he was a sea captain. He settled on in Hoopersville, Maryland, just right around the corner from Ripon's Brothers, down there on in Lower Dorchester County on Hooper's Island, and in 1890 started J.M. Clayton Company back then. And in the early 20s, he moved his company here to the big city of Cambridge. And have been operating this location ever since. And so I think we're probably about the oldest oldest processor there is anywhere. And I'm the fourth generation. My brothers, Bill and Joe, and I are here. And my oldest son, Clay, is now the fifth generation here that's following our footsteps. And, you know, if we get this visa thing fixed, there could be an end for that fifth, and then the sixth, and then the seventh, and we'd love to see that, because just about all these companies, the nine companies we mentioned, are multi-generational. The Ripon's family, you know, that's been in business for two or three generations, as well as all these places. So we'd like to keep this this thing going, you know, for more generations, so our kids and our grandkids can continue to enjoy Maryland crab meat. So you know, you can find our crab meat. We don't do the crab cakes. We leave those to the experts at Fadley's.
They send it up here.
Yeah, nice. That's right. But we do sell the pounds of crab meat, and you know, you can find it. We can ship it to you just like they ship the crab cakes, you know, anywhere in the continental U.S. the next day, and you know, in a nice gel pack, cold little shipping package.
Well, how am I going to mix it up as good as Damie does? I mean, let her mix it up.
Nobody's going to mix it like they do. I mean, that's for sure. But yeah, you got it.
Well, listen, a little story for you here, and I give you some Eastern Shore love, because I was down in Nag's Head with my wife, because we're trying to socially distance, and I'm up in Corolla, which is north up on 12, up by the Currituck National, up by the where the horses run wild in the Carolina Bays, and it was a sunset night, and they have this beautiful bridge, families everywhere, and they all come at dusk to pick to crab, and they had the lines out, and the kids didn't know what they were doing. They're pulling the crabs up, and they got the chicken necks and all that. And then I drove back on the Eastern Shore, and my wife didn't believe a month ago that there was such a thing called a tunnel bridge. I told her, we're going to go across a tunnel bridge. She said, what is it, a tunnel or a bridge? That's a tunnel and a bridge. So she had never heard of it. And we drove that Eastern Shore piece up there, up 13 to 180 from Virginia up through Chincoteague. And I saw those train tracks, and all I could think about was life on the Eastern Shore when the train tracks are 7 miles apart all the way up 13, and it runs concurrent. I had never been on that piece of road in my life, and I'd never been through Pocomoke City. One of my dearest friends grew up in Crisfield. She lives in Princess Anne. We had a plate of food in Fruitland. So I did the whole Eastern Shore tour on Friday and Saturday last weekend, and it's just such a beautiful part of the world. That's all. If you just drive on 50 and go to Ocean City and flop down on 89th Street, you're missing it, I guess is what I'm telling you, right?
It certainly is a unique ride, as you mentioned, and you know, I'm glad you and your wife got to experience that here, and it's a pretty cool place down there.
Well, my buddy Jimmy Schwartz has a place over by Tillman Island, and you know, Brian Billick just sold his place over on the Wye River, my partner. So being out there, and they know all the watermen, and you know, having homes on the water, and they know the struggle of all the watermen, and they see the lights out there as the sun's coming up. It looks about 4:55 in the morning right about now when I watch sunset, and they know what you guys do over there. So every time I eat a crab cake, I know where it comes from, and I appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate you having us on.
Damien, and, take us out. What else you got for me?
Well, I'm just gonna throw this out there because it can't hurt, and that is, if anybody wants to help us out in this challenging time to try to, you know, navigate our way through, shoot a letter to the White House. Ask them to put forth this permanent exemption for these visa workers. So until we can figure this whole thing out, we need it as soon as possible. And ask them for their support for the Chesapeake Bay, for the watermen, for the crab industry, and for everybody here that loves to eat crab.
And there's nothing I want to do more than eat a crab with you. And I don't pick them the same way as you, but I, you know, what's that old song? What's, you know, I'm not perfect, but I was perfect once. I was perfect once last year picking that crab with you. I'll tell you why. The video, Damie, it's incredible. I came back from my trip over the weekend, and I looked up, and everybody was sharing the video again, and the last I saw it was 1.9 million views, and when I checked over the weekend, it's now at 2.3 million views. So we picked up 400,000 views over the weekend, somehow, some way. I don't even know, but those are your hands in the video. So I'm looking here right now. I'm trying to get the exact number so I can get, it's like a timpani for me, like with Ed McMahon, you know?
And you know, the method that I used in there was one that my grandfather Fadley had taught me when I was down at J.C. Tolley's, Meredith and Meredith, at the packing plant.
This is the Clayton family method, the way I picked? This is what you're telling me.
Well, I'm sure that Jack knows this method, but he was talking a little bit earlier about one of the processing plants that did go out of business, which was Meredith and Meredith. And on one of our visits that my grandfather took me down to visit J.C. Tolley's place down in Wingate, I was taught that method, and that's the method that I taught you and that we have all these views on, which is pretty amazing.
Well, we will continue to share it, the correct technique, the Catonsville technique is what we call it here, Jack, because in Dundalk, we just bang on it and drink beer, you know, listen to some AC/DC is the way I did it in my childhood. Jack, I appreciate you at the CBSIA and all you do down there at Jam Clayton. Keep that crab meat coming up here, and we'll keep eating it, okay?
Wonderful, Nestor. Thanks for having me on.
Damian from Fadley's, one of our family members here at Baltimore Positive, as well as our friends at Taharka making that delicious ice cream and State Fair, and Evan doing the hot dog eating for the 4th of July, and me breaking out the 2.3 million view from Facebook, a shirt from last year. Now I just need to have the smell of some crab cakes on my fingers. That's got to do. So order those crab cakes from Fadley's. They ship them fresh. They will not surprise you with them. I learned that myself. Nasty at WNST.net. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, and all over the world. We are Baltimore Positive.